Al lost no time in joining the Detroit Young Men's Society so that he could use its library. He had promised his mother that he would read every book there, and he set to work, starting with Thomas Burton's Anatomy of Melancholy. This book, first published in 1621, covered all sorts of topics, including medicine, astronomy, philosophy, literature, the arts, politics, and nature. In Detroit, Al also loved to stroll through the streets. Detroit was one of America's fast-growing industrial cities, with a population of about 50,000 people. The city was a mishmash of elegant buildings standing alongside tumble-down shacks, and people of various nationalities spilled into the streets. On street corners, it was not uncommon for Al to see men and women dressed in the latest fashions from the East, standing beside others dressed in nothing more than rags. Beggars and prostitutes also plied the streets. And as Al's mother had worried, brawls were commonplace, though Al was careful to stay well away from them. Al loved to walk along the Detroit waterfront where sailing ships, steamers, and barges were busily being loaded and unloaded. He would wonder where the vessels were going next and what their cargo was going to be used for. Each afternoon, Al walked to the Detroit Free Press office to collect the newspapers he would sell on the trip north to Port Huron. On his visits to the newspaper office, he loved to watch the printers as they set row upon row of metal type onto plates that would be placed on the printing press to print the next edition of the paper. Al would also scan the headlines of the newspaper and read the main articles on the front page, both to satisfy his own curiosity and to look for selling points that he could use to entice the passengers on the train to buy a paper from him. Throughout 1860, the headlines were all about the growing tensions between the northern and southern states over the issue of slavery. In late 1860, the headlines declared that Abraham Lincoln from Illinois had been elected president. Shortly afterward, on December 20, 1860, the headlines told of South Carolina's decision to secede from the Union over the issue of the ownership of slaves. This was followed on February 1, 1861, by a headline stating that Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas had followed South Carolina's lead and had also seceded from the Union. And then, 3 days later, Al read that these states had banded together to form the Confederate States of America and had chosen Jefferson Davis to be their president. Things were not going well for the country, Al had to admit, though it was hard to tell that much had changed in this isolated corner of the Midwest. Still, talk of war between the North and the South was everywhere. The newspapers reported that politicians in Washington, D.C., were desperately trying to find a compromise, but none was forforthcoming. On April 12, 1861, before Union ships could resupply the Union garrison at Fort Sumter, located in the mouth of the harbor at Charleston, South Carolina, batteries of Confederate cannons opened fire on the fort. The next day, the Fort Sumter garrison surrendered to the Confederates. The Civil War had begun. Soon after the fall of Fort Sumter, the headlines told of how Virginia, North Carolina, Arkansas, and Tennessee had also seceded from the Union.